So we will be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 9th chapter, verse 48. My name is a difficult one to pronounce. No one else uses it. It is a son of Krishna and Mitravinda, which was given to me by Prabhupada on March 27th, 1971 at the Cross Maidan Festival. And in Sanskrit, it's pronounced Kshuti, because it's the Ksha letter. It's not Kusha and it's not Sha. But some people call me Kshuti, some people call me Shuti, and in Bengal they call me Kuti. But whatever we are called, we should. And since it means hungry, you can call me anything, but don't call me late to prasadam. So first we will start with the invocation. Which invocation do you want? One invocation is the first words of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's another invocation which is the first words of the second canto. And there's another invocation which is the one that Dhruva Maharaj chanted in the forest. Which one do you want? The one in the forest. How about if I do all three at the same time? All right? Here it goes. You ready for it? See if you've heard it before. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, here it is. Iti Vyavasito Puja Narayan Grihitaya Itvanya Bhavam Ajanam. I'm sorry, Ajanam Tata Svam Bhavam Astita Iti Vyastito Bhuja Narayan Grihitaya Hitvanya Bhavam Agyanam Tatasvam Bhavam Astita. Word for word translation. Iti, thus, vyavasita, firmly, having firmly decided, buddha, by proper intelligence, narayana grihitaya, completely controlled by the mercy of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hitva, giving up. Anya Bhavam, consciousness other than Krishna consciousness. Ajnanam, which is nothing but constant ignorance and darkness. Tata, thereafter. Svam, his original position as the eternal servant of Krishna. Bhavam, devotional service. Astita, situated. Translation to text 48. Thus, Maharaj Katvanga, by his advanced intelligence, in rendering service to the Lord, gave up false identification with the full body of ignorance. In his original position of eternal servitorship, he engaged himself in rendering service to the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When one actually becomes purely Krishna conscious, no one has any right to rule over him. When situated in Krishna consciousness, one is no longer in the darkness of ignorance. And when freed from all such darkness, one is situated in his original position. Jivara Svarupai Krishna Nichadas. The living entity is eternally the servant of the Lord. And thus when he engages himself in the service of the Lord, in all respects, he enjoys the perfection of life. Om Agyana Timaranya Sagina Ginasana Kaya Chaksarana Dasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So today we will discuss the process of deciding something. We will discuss intelligence. We will discuss the windows of opportunity and tragic situations, how they can come to our benefit and how we can use those in our own life. We will talk about becoming free from the qualities of ignorance, and we will talk more about our original spiritual position. Why will we discuss these topics? Somebody have an idea? Why? To just pick them out of a... Where did I pick these topics from? Say it louder, yes, from the verse and the purport. This is the idea. When we discuss something, it usually goes a lot better if we discuss the ideas that are in the verse and in the purport. Because this is the original idea, and we stay on course. I may not get to all of it. They tell me sometimes I speak too fast because I'm excited to get all of the information out. But today, I will try to speak more slowly so that the information we get out, that you get the information. That's why I ask the question. We know that the information is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And maybe I read it myself, but the point is that you get this information and you know how to use it. So in the word for word, the word vyasitaha is used, which shows something very important about our spiritual life. It says, having firmly decided. This is something we know that is important in our spiritual life. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the minds of those who are irresolute is many branched. So, how do we become resolute? What does this mean here about decision? First, a decision is something that we gather all the information. And a decision is like determination. First, we gather all the information and we make a firm decision. Like in court, when they make a decision, If you are suing somebody to get a piece of land, and the court makes the decision that the other people get to keep the land, who gets to keep the land? It is a firm decision. You can't change your mind once that is resolved. That's why the GBC has resolutions, because it has become a firm decision. They didn't just pull it out of the air. They took the information. They weighed all the pros and cons, and then we come to a decision. So Maharaj Katvanga came to a firm decision. Now, when do we come to this firm decision in our life? What times do we come to this? Yes. But when do we do that? When? At the point of realization, at the point of initiation, every single day, we have to reconfirm this decision. That we yes. Yes, we're not saying when they come to I'm saying when do they make this decision. If a person is distressed to make this decision, decision means they gather all the information. So in the case of a person who is distressed, he will say, I am distressed because I am involved with the wrong people, I am taking intoxication, this is making me miserable. Instead, I can surrender to Krishna and he can relieve me from this position. We're not talking about what brings you to Krishna consciousness. We're talking that any of these persons can make this what is called Sankhya. Sankhya basically means counting. We add up the advantages and the disadvantages. Okay, what are the advantages to engaging in material sense gratification? And what is the advantage of engaging in Krishna's service? So the person may come to that because he is in great distress. He may be weighing out different things than the person who is in want of money, the person who is inquisitive, but he is still adding up the factors in his life that will help him to come to a final decision that I should turn my life and my will and my mind over to Krishna. And it's something we find that we do on a regular basis. We find that decision is like determination. Determination is a noun, that I made a determination to engage myself in Krishna consciousness. And then as a verb, I exercise determination to keep my mind fixed on Krishna and Krishna's service. So it's not only something we start with, but it's something we continue with on a regular basis. But we find when we have added up all of these conditions and we have made a decision to engage in Krishna's service, just like if you're driving around out here and you're not sure where you're going, you will get lost. But if you have made a decision that you are going to Delhi, you will drive up the Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg. You will turn towards Delhi and you will drive that way because you have made a decision that you are going there. So being a firm decision, we may not have made a firm decision. It is a process. Rupa Goswami's conviction was like lines in a stone. Our conviction may not be that way, but just like the lines in a stone can be made even with water by constant, as Krishna says. Arjuna asks this question to Krishna. He says, it seems that it is very difficult to control the mind. It is like the raging wind. And Krishna says, but it is possible by constant practice and detachment. So by constant practice and by reaffirming this decision, it will become a firm decision and it will become fixed like those lines in the stone. We may not be there today, but it is a process to understand what this firm conviction is. And part of making this decision is we see what happens. We take a quick look. What happens when I engage in the mode of ignorance? These things are well explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that in the mode of ignorance, things are miserable from the beginning, and they're miserable later. And in the mode of passion, it's pleasure in the beginning, but poison in the end. Now we think that's the best one because we get something right away. Just like you can go to the bank and borrow money for maybe 8-10%. And I say, hey, I'll loan it to you right now, but I'll charge you 30%, and I'll break your legs if you don't pay it by the end of the week. Now, this is like the mode of passion. You get it right away, but the price is heavier. So this is what Sankhya is, to come to this firm decision. We have to see that even though I get something right away, I pay a lot more for it. In the mode of goodness, it may seem difficult in the beginning, but in the end, it becomes like nectar. So we add these things up with this firm determination, and it makes the determination more firm. It may not start firm. It's just like they say, the process we do with sugar. Our firmness is like the sweetness in sugar. You squeeze the sugar cane juice, it's not so sweet. But if you cook it, it turns into this molasses. A little more, it becomes a hard gore. And you cook it more, it turns into brown sugar, and then white sugar, and finally to rock candy, hard and very sweet. So the same way, we need to firm our decision up. We are at the crossroads of sense gratification one way and Krishna consciousness the other. It wasn't like a long time ago, that's true, last year, but every single day we think, what decision am I going to make? This is why it helps us to have certain firm decisions. We know we're going to wake up in the morning and chant, but I could wake up at 2 in the morning, I could wake up at 4, why not wake up at 10? But if we're going to Mangal Aarti, we know we have to wake up somewhere between 3:30 and 4:30, otherwise we will miss it. So it helps to have determinations that are firm, and we stick with those. Because when we stick with certain determinations, we will be able to further those determinations and create more determinations. So how this is done here is explained a little differently in the word for word. Bhujaya, by proper intelligence, and in the verse is explained by advanced intelligence in rendering devotional service. So it starts as being proper intelligence and it turns into advanced. Now the proper intelligence would be using this Sankhya, understanding things as they are, understanding the matter, what is more gross and what is more subtle. So the proper intelligence becomes advanced intelligence by using it. Just like the determination is a process you make, it becomes more secure by exercising the process of determination. And we have to continue the process of determination to stay in that original determination. So the proper intelligence here to engage in devotional service is to understand what is what. What is more gross and less valuable? What is more subtle and more valuable? We find that the grossest part is the matter. More subtle than this matter is the senses. Above the senses, there is the mind. Above the mind, there is the intelligence. And above the intelligence, there is the soul. So, what many people do is this. Is this the right way? We let the senses become controlled by matter. And then the mind is controlled by the senses. And then the intelligence is helping the mind find ways and means to further that sense gratification. Is this the proper use of the intelligence? No. But is this what most people do? Yes, we can't think that just because most people do it, it's a good idea. Is it? We have to judge it by the results, not by, as they call it, vox populi, the population. Otherwise, you could say that 500 trillion flies eat stool. So 500 trillion flies can't be wrong. Let's eat stool instead of khichdi for breakfast. Who wants to go for that? The flies do. So the proper use of intelligence is to understand who we are. We are the spirit soul and Nitya Krishna Das and Jivar Swarup Haya, that we are the servant of Krishna. So the soul directs the intelligence by understanding what is matter, what is spirit, how should I engage myself. This is why decision is important. Before we take actions, we shouldn't just do whatever comes along. We should decide, is this advantageous for my devotional service? And it's very simple. We accept everything that's favorable for devotional service, and we reject everything that's unfavorable. It's simple, but it's not always easy. But as we said before, it's possible by constant practice and detachment. So, is given the story as like the soul is the passenger, and the intelligence is the driver, and the mind are the reins, and the horses are the senses. So if you just let the senses go anywhere, you're going to be lost. But if the soul directs the intelligence, the reins, to pull those senses, which are the horses, in the direction we want them to go. This is why Krishna explains in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that we should use deliberate intelligence. It means we think carefully about what we're going to do, what we're going to say, and what our purposes in life is. We engage in deliberate actions. We don't just do whatever comes along. So, this is the use of this proper intelligence. And as it becomes used on a regular basis, it becomes an advanced intelligence, that we see the proper ways to serve Krishna in the best way. We see that not only we pull our mind back under the control of the self. Krishna says this is how this works in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says, from whenever and wherever the mind wanders, we should pull it back under the control of the self. So we attach the mind to a rope and pull it back. Does anybody know what this rope looks like? Anybody have one? You want to see one? Okay. We attach this here. One side attached to the mind, the other side to Krishna, and we pull the mind back under the control of Krishna. This is the whole point, is that we engage the senses in the service of Krishna. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. This is the use of advanced intelligence. We think how I can engage these senses in Krishna's service. And what happens then is along the way here, this shows us as we begin to use this proper intelligence, the advanced intelligence means we stop identifying falsely. Because if I think I am this water bottle, then I'm going to shine it up and I'm going to fill it. Or if I think that I am this jacket, I put the food in here and I feed myself that way, yes? But this is a false identification. So the advanced intelligence means that we become, on a gradual basis, freed from this false identification. That we don't think that we are ahamkara. When we act this way and let the senses try to gratify themselves, then we start to identify with that. But as we identify with the spirit soul, the false identification needs to go away automatically. But it is a process. But we have to look at times. We see Krishna lets us know that when we are chanting more attentively and we are acting under this firm decision, we know that when our mind is wandering away to sense objects, that this decision is not firmed. So then what do? Give up? Or do we make this decision firm? How long can it take to make the decision firm? Could it be immediately, or could it be millions of lifetimes? Which one? It could be both. But what's the difference? It's just like, how long does it take to go to Delhi? What's the major thing preventing you from getting to Delhi quickly? What? No. What thing makes it the most difficult? What? What? Yes, you have to start the journey. As long as you don't start the journey, even if I'm going to take a helicopter to Delhi, but I'm not going to start for 10 years, you will walk and you will be there ahead of me. So for us, even if we're not fully surrendered to Krishna, we start the journey. We develop some decision. That's why we do certain things, like we go to Mangal Aarti. We chant when we feel like it. No, we chant. Well, how long do you have to chant? How long do we have to chant 16 rounds a day? Until you want to, and then you don't feel like you have to anymore. But if when we make a decision to do this, it's easier to come to this decision. So we have certain things that we've made a decision to do, and we reinforce that decision on a regular basis. But again, what helps us is this philosophy by understanding. Am I using the intelligence to direct the mind and senses in the proper direction? Or am I just letting the reins go? I know what that's like. A friend of mine put me on a horse. He had a horse ranch. And he put me on a horse. And this horse was trying to run into the tree and it was going all over. So I got off and let the reins go and it ran away. And his sister said, "Did you ride on horses?" I said, "Yes." She said, "What horse did you ride?" And when I said, "Which one?" She said, "That was a wild horse that was captured yesterday. Nobody was supposed to ride that until it was tamed." But you can take a wild horse, and by using the reins, you can tame that wild horse by directing it in the right way. Pretty soon, it gets used to following those reins. But on the first day, I was in trouble riding on that before it had been controlled. But it is possible. So as it got to the point, we need to start this journey. And we find that it can come very quickly. Very quickly, we can be surrendered to Krishna. So we use the things like the daily practices that we come to Mangal Aarti, we worship the deities, we chant on beads, we read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we stay in the holy place or in a temple, we associate with devotees. These are the chanting the holy names. These are the five things that are the bridge between spiritual and material. We use these on a regular basis. And we understand through the philosophy this proper identification. This is where the proper intelligence becomes advanced intelligence. That we are, in the beginning, struggling to pull the mind and senses away from the objects because we are suffering. There's lots of things that happen when people let the mind and the senses go and they engage in illicit sex and intoxication and so many sense gratificatory ideas. There are many stories of people doing this, but it can all be summed up with one word. Do you know what that word is? Suffering. Right? You may get different kinds of suffering, but you get suffering. Just like if you hit your finger with a hammer and you hit your toe with a hammer, it may feel the different pain, but it's still pain. So as this false identification goes away, then we can engage in Krishna's service on a constant basis. But Krishna gives us some of these windows of opportunity. Sometimes they're tragedies to make us accelerate our advancement towards Krishna. Normally people don't ask for these things. Normally people go to God and they treat him like he's a Santa Claus or a fairy godmother. This is how they treat the demigods. "Oh, I have a list of favors I want. Can you do this?" The fairy godmother is in the old European fables. She comes with a wand and she makes it true. "Okay, you want this?" "Yes," and you get some material thing. It's like at Christmas time, they go in the West and they sit on Santa Claus's lap and they ask him for a pony or a new bicycle or something material that they want. So people are treating God this way. So we find the point here is to make this firm decision. It may come gradually, but Krishna arranges things. So we should always be looking for this point of urgency. Some of us may die in this year, right? Some of us may live for 10 years. Who of you will be here in 100 years? Is that point of death coming? For Maharaj Katvanga, it was coming very quickly. But we always think sometime in the future it will never come, it is too far away. It is funny, like I am thinking now, in 3 days I go to Delhi, and in 7 days I will be on the airplane. But it seems like it is so far in the future it will never come. Is that true? When I was a child, I was born in 1952, so about 1955, 1956, what was the year I thought that was so far away it will never come? 2000. Did it come? In another month, it's going to be 20 years ago. Way back, we thought it is so far away, it will never come. But that's not true. So we think that the point of our death, it may come. People are afraid to fly in an airplane. But statistically, it's more dangerous to take an auto rickshaw to Lloyd Bazaar than it is to fly all the way around the world. So what people are afraid of is not necessarily the most fearful thing. Of course, the most fearful thing is to forget Krishna. So these points of urgency came. Maharaj Katvanga was very careful to think about this, not how long can I enjoy these things. Like Shubha Krishna was saying yesterday, if they give you $1 billion, but you only get to enjoy it for a second, it's not worthwhile. But if you get $1 billion for 10 minutes, then it's worthwhile, right? Now people save all these material things, and they get extra material things. They get like 5 times as much as they need, because when you die, you only get to take 20% of your money with you. Is that correct? Is it? People act like they're going to keep it forever, don't they? Don't they act this way? But you ask, how much are you going to take with you? Right? As they have more money, they get a better room at the hospice or the nursing home before they go away. So we can think of this point of urgency like Maharaj Katvanga. He knew he was going to die soon. So he thought, let me surrender to Krishna right now. We know we could die at any time. Or if we don't surrender to Krishna and the senses take us away, we die a spiritual death. We find that most of us don't like to suffer. Some people even pray for these difficulties. Some people have all kinds of material opulence, but they welcome the chance to give it up if it's going to give them this firm determination and this firm surrender to Krishna. Maharaj Katvanga didn't look for any of these objects, because how long can you enjoy them? They're not going to be here long. We find that some people even prayed for suffering. Kunti Devi realized that if the point is to make this firm decision and to surrender to Krishna, if the suffering that comes makes you surrender to Krishna, then this is a good thing, isn't it? Like if I tell you, I want to slap your face, what will you say? If I say, but every time I slap your face, I will give you a lakh of rupees. Now how many times do you want to be slapped? What? A lot of times, right? Because the benefit outweighs the pain. That's what we forget. The material sense gratification comes quickly, but the benefit does not outweigh the pain. Kunti Devi realized that whenever there was suffering, Krishna was there. And that's why when people come to pray to the demigods, they're asking for suffering, right? Are they? Probably not. They'll get suffering anyway. But if we realize that the suffering makes us depend on Krishna, then it becomes a good thing. We found this has happened to... This is why we have to think for ourselves and other devotees. We try to make new devotees. But we find if people have practiced devotional service, and let's say they quit for a while, do they lose all those spiritual credits? Didn't that happen to Ajamil? He saw, but this is what happens is, as we keep the spiritual credits, but if something gets in the middle, Ajamil saw a very beautiful prostitute. They're beautiful, but they're a prostitute. This is a dilemma, right? So then he got involved with that one. But when the point of urgency came along, he was not very comfortable with those Yamadutas coming to take him. This took him out of his comfort zone, didn't it? They're coming to pull him out of his body, and he felt very uncomfortable with this. But because he led so much sinful life, then he was doomed. On the other hand, someone else thinks, well, I was born in a Brahmin family. I don't have to do anything. That person will do better than Ajamil, who's reaching out to Krishna, won't he? No. It's what you're doing right now that counts. So because Ajamil had that point of urgency, he called out. He was calling for Narayan. But when he remembered that Narayan, his son, is also the name for God, and he called out in this point of urgency, he made a firm decision, didn't he? And because he made that firm decision, Krishna rescued him. So this is the point of our life. We should practice daily to make this firm decision. And when difficult things come along, we should welcome this as a chance to get there more quickly. I know when I was in South Africa, we should not just have Krishna consciousness, like we put it on the wall, like I'm a member of the Laguna Beach High School alumni, right? But I don't think about it every day. We put it on the wall, high school alumni. But Krishna consciousness is not something we put on the wall. It's something we do every day. So when I was in South Africa, and the five thieves came in to the place, this was in 72, four had guns and one had a crowbar to pry open the cabinets to get money and belongings out. So they put the gun at my head, said, "Get under the bed." The one with the crowbar said, "Shoot him." And I'm under the bed with my beads. Did I chant very attentively while they are arguing about whether to shoot me or not? I said, "Krishna, I think I have about 60% they'll shoot me, 40 I won't. So if this is going to be my last round, am I going to chant it attentively? Am I? Yes? So can we chant like that all the time, thinking, let me chant this one, like it's going to be the last one?" Maharaj Katvanga went and surrendered to Krishna immediately because it was his last moment. But didn't he practice this regularly? And we also see here's a window of opportunity coming. When he was finished with his duties, as some people, this is why I don't go to settle in Alachua. When our duties are done, we don't think, well, now let me settle down in the golden years. I can settle with my wife. And I can just watch the TV. We can watch the repeats of the reruns. That way you know it's going to happen because it's the same thing all over. And it was just like last week's version. And the juice gets less and less. You're chewing the chewed. Is this the way we should live? Or should we go to try to help people learn Krishna consciousness? Come to Vrindavan to get some Krishna consciousness? Maharaj Katvanga could have said, "Let me get my... Now that my duties are done, let me go home and enjoy for a while, short while." But it always seems like it's going to be forever. But that point that would never come, as like the year 2000 passed almost 20 years ago. I thought that will never come. So, which do we do? Do we settle down and just enjoy a comfortable life? Or do we try to make a firmer decision? Do we try to up our game, do a little more for Krishna? We think like there was one song where there are so many songs they sing for men and women, which if they were sung for Krishna, would be perfect songs. The one says, "I love you more than yesterday, but less than I will tomorrow." If we think of that with Krishna, "Krishna, I love you and want to surrender to you today, more than I did yesterday, but less than I'm going to do tomorrow." Are we supposed to take Krishna consciousness and just get a solid position in it and just do the same thing every day? Or are we supposed to progress in Krishna consciousness? We've heard this term before, right? Progress. This is why we're practicing, because we haven't achieved perfection yet. Yes? So this point of urgency can come, and if we have to give up things for it, we should be happy. There was one person, he had control of lots of planets. He had it all going on. He had control of the lower planets. He even went to Indraloka, where they had such opulences. They had 100 million airplanes there. And he was taking over the whole thing. His name was Bali Maharaj. You've heard of him before? And he was just about to get it all. This little Brahmin boy came along, said, "I want a gift from you." He says, "Well, I'll give you so many things." He says, "No, I just want 3 steps of land." So his guru, Sukracharya, said, "Don't give it to him, he'll take everything." But he thought, if Vishnu wants from me, should I argue about giving it to him? If Krishna shows up and says, "I want this from you," do you argue about it? He had all this going on. He said, "I'll give you 3 steps. The 1 step covered the material universes. The 2nd step broke through to the causal ocean. And he says, "Put the 3rd step on my head," and he still got arrested. So does this seem like a good idea? It sounds like he should have just kept it all for himself, doesn't it? But when we give to Krishna, when we surrender, we become a winner, not a loser. So we do 2 things. When these points of urgency come along, when they ask us to donate to a special project, when we think they are going to kill us, when we know that some danger may come at any moment, then we make this firm decision to firm up my Krishna consciousness and surrender. And we might as well practice in the meantime. You know, if I've already, one of the things that makes it hard, we do 2 things. Just like, why haven't I learned to play any cricket? You know why? I didn't allocate any time for it. So in the beginning, we allocate the time for chanting rounds. Maybe they aren't pure Krishna Prema rounds, but if we've allocated the time, then it's easier to work on perfecting it. So first we allocate the time to surrender. That's part of our firm decision. And then as we're doing it, we try to do it better every day and think that when I am chanting, just like today when we had a discussion, we discussed the things that were in the verse and purport. So when we are chanting the names, we should be thinking about those names. And when we're offering food, we should be thinking, "I am offering this to Krishna." And it shows us that we can wander away for millions of lifetimes. But that's why we find we want to take the old devotees and bring them back, because they are like a jamil. It is like if you have a whole lot of money, but it's buried somewhere. It won't do you much good. But if you find that money, so the people who have practiced Krishna consciousness is like having money buried, or money in the account that they don't know where it is. But once they retake up the process and surrender to Krishna, it's like finding that bank account, finding the buried money. So on one hand, we should practice Krishna consciousness and not let ourselves fall away. But if our mind has drifted away, or if people have drifted away, then we come back, because it is like finding that lost treasure. And this is why we spend the time to find the old devotees. Because even if they're not practicing now, when they start again, there's just like a jamil. They start from where they left off. They start with what's ever in the spiritual bank account. So we don't become complacent thinking we have so much. We have to surrender on a daily basis. But we remember that it can come quickly if we firm up that decision. So today for myself, I will make a firm decision to surrender to Krishna and not let the many temptations that will come along bother me, because I realize that that would firm up my false identification. And when I act under false identification, many things happen, but it is all explained by that one word, suffering. But as Prabhupada says in one lecture, if we have to suffer, why not suffer for Krishna? So if we're going to suffer, suffer for Krishna. But then as it says here, by practicing Krishna consciousness, we become happy, joyous, and we get freedom. And all the money and all the things people want is to get freedom. And if we get freedom from all this material conditioning and go back to Krishna, even though we surrender to do it, we become a winner by surrendering. So that is the point. We become a winner by surrendering. And we have explained the ways and means to get there. Any questions or comments on this point? Yes. There's a microphone is here somewhere. Oh.
Thank you for your very enthusiastic class. It was really fun as well. But when you were asking that, how did you chant when you were under the bed when they had all of that situation going on? And you said, how wonderful you chanted each round as if it was your last. And then
it,
you said,
it was.
Okay?
It was going to be my last.
Right, yes. And you said, can we chant like that every day? And I don't know what everybody else was saying, but I was saying, no, I don't manage to do that.
No.
So how did you get that feeling?
Just,
this
is the idea, is it's like progress. And here's why. Anartha Nivriti comes when we're like 60-70% detached from material things. So in the beginning, maybe you don't start as a pure devotee. But we have to remember that even if somebody has a husband or wife or children or a job or a house, that they have to be more dependent on Krishna than they are on all of those other things. If we're more dependent, if a man is dependent on, let's say he finds a girl, he doesn't marry her, becomes responsible, but he's so dependent on that girlfriend, and then that girlfriend goes away or dies, then he does intoxication because he was dependent. So what we have to do is try to become more dependent on Krishna. We try to set aside the time where we're chanting in the morning. We use the computer later. Because it's true that we may have to drive, and we may have to chant rounds, and we may have to use the computer to check emails, but we should not do them all at the same time. Yes, we don't do them at the same time. So we make progress. From wherever we're at, we say, Krishna, let me surrender to you. And as it says in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one of the process is offering the process of hearing in the fire of the controlled mind. So by doing the hearing, we're automatically surrendering and offering it in the fire of the controlled mind. So we try to hear more attentively. It's a process. That's possible, isn't it? We start from now. What we did, like a Jamil does, oh, I did so much mistakes. No, what I do now is important. It's a process. And then we can also do on special days, do special time, like sometimes on Ekadasi, I'll go up to a special spot on a mountain and take some nuts and raisins and chant all day. You know, you take some special days and really dedicate to chanting. It also helps to wake up early, because then you wake up and you pay your obeisances to the spiritual master and say, I'd like to sleep late, but I am surrendering now because if I pay my obeisance to you, I can chant more clearly later. Is that clear? Progress, not perfection, comes later. We have to be happy if we're making progress, even though we want perfection. We don't become complacent, but we don't worry if we're not perfect. Yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
And later on he thought, let me go and enjoy outside.
Yes.
And when the time is come, I'll come again. So what do you recommend for him?
Does he do any Krishna consciousness at all?
He was few years doing Krishna consciousness.
That's one thing we need to do with people, is that we need to not make people feel embarrassed. Like Pancharatna has been away other places. You know, it's so good to see you. I go, where have you been, right? Or if somebody's been in another country, they go, where have you been? how come you weren't here? Well, I was in Mayapur. You're just glad to see people. You don't ask, where were you? So, I'd sure like to see you at the temple. You know, we don't assume that because they were somewhere else, they did something wrong. Maybe they weren't, like Pancharatna was in Mayapur. Someone else was in somewhere else. And maybe someone was engaged in sense gratification. But we say, we're just happy, come and do a little with us. And here's the trouble people have, even though they promised to chant 16 rounds, they should. But let's say they can only chant 8. Does that mean they shouldn't chant at all? It's not perfect, but by chanting 8, it makes them think, boy, I have to get back to 16. So this is why we study the 4 kinds of people. Is we have to understand where people are at, and we try to be helpful. We don't point out what they didn't do. This is why we have aversion to fault finding. We try to encourage them just to come and spend time with us. Do a little. Say, don't go to all of it, just come to Guru Puja then. Or just come to Mangalartikan. If you're tired, go back to rest. Get them to come and do a little. Right? You start with a little.
Sometimes I meet that person, I tell him, what you're doing is not good. Why don't you come back?
It's just like the one guy from the bank. He wanted to open a bank account and he couldn't do it. And then he tries to sell me a kilo of gold over the phone. You don't try such a big thing over the phone. Right? I'm not going to buy any kilo of gold. And so first, just like when we're talking to people, we tell them, come and visit our temple. Take this book home and read it. We don't try to convert them right there. So we don't say, come back. Say, come back and visit us. Come spend some time with us. Don't get them to make such a big decision all at once. It's just like with sales. A good book distributor is like Vaisheshika. They don't say, give me money, I'll give you a book. First they get their attention. Then they spend time showing the value of it. And then they try. So tell them, come spend some time with us. Don't try to make them make such a big decision. Get them to come and spend some time. Like you don't say, I want you to buy a set of books. You say, I have something to show you. And then you show them that and discuss the things. And then you try to get. But you don't start with that. Do you think Vaisheshika sells a lot of books by saying, I want to sell you a lot of books? That may be the goal, but that's... So you start with little goals. Like if someone comes when there's a Sunday feast program at a temple, make them want to come back next week. Don't try to force them to move in the ashram. Get them just to come visit. Then they're afraid to come back and visit at all. Say, come and visit first. Is there another question or is that all? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
You also talked about the determination of letting and keeping them, making decisions, certain set of decisions.
Yes.
Go for Mangala Arati daily.
Yes.
Chant X number of rounds from tomorrow. And then one problem that I personally face at times is that I take such vows, but because of my work and studies, I'm not able to follow them. Then I
yes.
kind of, you know, come. I would say I fall out of those standards. And I again start practicing them, but this again falling out and then again practicing, doing them a lot of times, make the difference
yes.
a little weaker over a period of time. So how do you have a problem?
At least you're trying, but the thing is, you find out what time you have allocated for it and make the best use of the time. Right? Make the best use when you are chanting, chant attentively and set aside time for it. Make it a priority that you have enough time at least to wake up earlier. Now, the main thing is go to bed early. If you go to bed early and not spend as much time socializing or computer or television or whatever else people do later at nighttime, and try to go to bed early and wake up a little earlier, if you woke up half hour earlier, you'd have more time to start the day, right? And then the work and the things go easier because you've settled your mind. You see, if you chant your rounds and then you go to do the work, what's hard is if I'm trying to chant and do the work and do this, that's why it's easier to do each thing at the right time. You must do the most productive thing at the right time. It's like I chant my rounds, but I chant them earlier and then we give the class, not do them at the same time. So in the Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ram Bhagavatam, it says that you concentrate on what you're doing and set yourself a realistic goal, but do it well. Like you invite someone over for breakfast, maybe all you can do is cook some oatmeal and some khichdi. You can't make 18 preparations, but do it well. And if things are difficult, you just keep trying. If at first you don't succeed, try again, and Krishna will help you. We don't become discouraged. There's verses like that in the 18th chapter. That determination where we engage and we're not worried about loss or failure. If we're trying to give up a certain habit and it's difficult, but we keep trying and keep asking Krishna's mercy, eventually it will come. Prabhupada says if we're not against the principle of surrender, it will come. So it's better to try and fail than just to give up. They told Thomas Edison that. You failed 999 times to make the light bulb. So he gave up and we don't have light bulbs. No, he said, I'm getting closer to finding the right solution. So we don't give up. Even if it's painful, we keep trying. We'll end there. Hare Krishna.